Let's have the third reader from Chronicles 14.
So when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went out to meet them. Now the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of God, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" And the Lord answered him, "Go, I will deliver them into your hands." So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand." So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines had abandoned their gods there, and David gave orders to burn them in the fire. Once more, the Philistines raided the valley. So David inquired of God again, and God answered him, "Do not go directly after them, but circle around them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move out to battle, because that will mean God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." So David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. So David's fame spread throughout every land, and the Lord made all the nations fear him.
Isn't that a beautiful passage? Here's one of King David's final battles against the Philistines. And even though David is a very experienced general and military commander by this time, twice David inquires of the Lord whether and how he should go up against the enemy. Now, I think in the text that we had in the yellow passage here, it says balsam trees. I didn't realize that was the same as poplar trees. So I like that. And the singing of that. And instead of being arrogant and prideful, like five stars on his shoulder as a commander, David knows it is God who gives the victory. He transitions from taking the lead to following God's leading. Reader number four.
David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. He then said to the whole assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our people throughout the territories of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their towns and pasture lands to come join us. Let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." The whole assembly agreed to do this because it seemed right to all the people. They brought the ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. After David had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to extol, thank, and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and next to him in rank were Zechariah, then Jaziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaniah, Obed-Edom, and Jehiel. They were to play the lyrics and the lyres and harps. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaniah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow the trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God.
You did a better job of pronouncing all those Hebrew names than I would have been able to. This is the transition from warrior to worshiper. And maybe you would have recognized the name Asaph, because in the Psalm, we often have Psalms, not of David, but Asaph. And so he was one of the head musicians in David's court. Beyond consolidating and organizing his military, King David recognized that for the long-term health and shalom of the nation, the worship and loyalty to Yahweh, the God of their ancestors, must be central. Notice verse 3, the Ark of the Covenant had been neglected under King Saul. And the ark contained the stone tablets on which were written by God the 10 words or the 10 commandments. And that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And that had been with them as they wandered through the wilderness and as they came into the promised land. So this, at this moment, notice what a joyful celebration it was to bring the Ark of the Covenant to the capital city. With trumpets, with cymbals, with lots of singing. It was like a homecoming to make the covenant of God the center of their identity as a unified nation. Now, the fifth reader from 1 Chronicles 16.
That day, David first appointed Asaph and his associates to give praise to the Lord in this manner. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are on all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as the everlasting covenant. To you, I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit.
As I gathered with Pat O'Connor to help plan this sermon, she gave me a copy of the history of this congregation, 50 years on the Warwick River or something, I think it's called. And just to see the picture of that, and as well as the layout that's in the classroom there, I realize that you people are living in a portion that is an inheritance. That as you read that story again, it's just remarkable to me, the repetition of what was happening in Israel now was happening here in the Denby colony. These words from the psalm, notice the words that invite true worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Glory in God's holy name. Seek the Lord. Remember his wonderful works. What a beautiful outline for a worship service. In the back of the new hymnal, The Voices Together, I looked up to see if there was any hymns from First Chronicles. And the only hymns that are listed are from this chapter 16. And there's 9 of them. A Thanksgiving hymn that David sang. And it says, then on that day, David first appointed the singing of praises to the Lord by Asaph and his kindred. Transition number 3. Transition number 3 is perhaps the most difficult. It is not about consolidating power or military organization, and it's not about centralizing the place and methods of worship in the capital city. It's not about external things. David's third transition is an internal one. An inner disposition or attitude. God is further transforming David's heart. Now, this is a pretty long reading, so I've asked for 2 readers. I will read the first 3 verses and the very last verse for reader number six, and have reader number 6 do verses 4 through 14, and then reader 7 doing the second column. Now, when David settled in his house, David said to the prophet Nathan, I am living in a house of cedar, but the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent. Nathan said to David, do all that you have in mind, for God is with you. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying,
go. And tell my servant David, This is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their leaders, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people, Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning, and I have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people, Israel. I will also subdue all your enemies. I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever.
And in accordance with all these words and all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Reader number 7, David's response.
Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, Lord God, and what is my family, that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, my God, you have spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You, Lord God, have looked on me as though I were the most exalted of men. What more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant, Lord. For the sake of your servant and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. There is no one like you, Lord, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whose God went out to redeem a people for himself, and to make a name for yourself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You made your people Israel your very own forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord, let the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house be established forever. Do as you promised, so that it will be established and that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, Lord, the Lord Almighty, the God over Israel, is Israel's God, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. You, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. So your servant has found courage to pray to you. You, Lord, our God, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, Lord, have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever.
I am deeply moved by King David's humility. Who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? Who are we, O Lord God, and what is our house that you have brought us this far? Notice verse 25, for you, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. Therefore, your servant has found it possible to pray before you. This sounds like ancient Job after God answers Job's cry and reveals himself. Notice how King David receives the word of the Lord through Nathan. David does not receive it as a rebuke or as punishment, but as a blessing for you, O Lord, have blessed and are blessed forever. David understands God's promise to build him a house as a promise of a dynasty, not for his family alone, but for the future of God's people. It is a vision far beyond himself. And that vision was caught by Jesus, who is often called Son of David. The blind man Bartimaeus says, Son of David, have mercy upon me. So what was first started in David is fully revealed in Jesus Christ. And what I like about this, when we have a good vision and promise, David can say, therefore, your servant has found it possible to pray before you. I find that a remarkable statement. Therefore, your servant has found it possible to pray before you. When we truly receive and accept God's word and God's promise. Transition number four, from builder to architect. The eighth reader.
Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me. You have shed much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace and rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. His name will be Solomon, and I will grant Israel peace and quiet during his reign. He is the one who will build a house for my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with you, and may you have success and build a house of the Lord your God, as he said you would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and laws of the Lord that the Lord gave Moses from Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver, the quantities of bronze and iron too great to be weighed, and wood and stone, and you may add to them. You may have workers, stone cutters, masons, and carpenters, as well as those skilled in every kind of work, in gold and silver, bronze and iron, craftsmen beyond numbers. Now begin the work, and the Lord be with you.
What a charge from a father to a son, from King Solomon, from King David to his son Solomon. Notice how in this transition from builder to architect, how God interprets the meaning of Solomon's name. In the Hebrew language, Solomon is based on the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom has a very rich meaning: health, wholeness, peace, and salvation. Through David, God says, I will give shalom to Israel all of Solomon's days. David's transition from builder to architect, usually it feels the other way around, or the architect is the one who prepares for the building more and is more than gathering the materials and designating the site for the temple. But David, in those last years in the middle years of his reign, does not sit around and pout because he can't be the builder. The chapters that follow this reading in chapter 22, David is busy training and organizing the Levites, the temple servants, and the division of priests who will facilitate their collective worship. There's a whole chapter naming and organizing the temple musicians, and another chapter for the divisions of gatekeepers, treasurers, officers, and judges. David is preparing beyond his own lifetime. because he has fully embraced the vision and promise of God that we heard in chapter 17. Fully accepting God's will, David becomes a visionary, a true leader, and the prefigure of the Messiah coming in God's plan. A personal story here. I served with the Mennonite Central Committee in Congo for 2 years. I was on loan to the Disciples of Christ mission project in Bowendi, where both Protestant and Catholic missionaries teamed up with the Congo government to restore a regional hospital. The two of us, MCC Paxmen, as we were called, had tools and supplies scattered all over the place. We finally convinced the medical director to build a maintenance shop where tools and supplies could be centralized at the hospital instead of at our living headquarters, instead of our living quarters. I spent the last few months organizing that shop, but never got to utilize it myself. Only later did I learn, many years later, that that preparation helped the next MCC Paxman to accomplish so much more for the hospital and that mission project. Praise be to God. Transition number 5, from self-glory to God's glory, the ninth reader.
David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name."
When I first read that, well, this is the Hallelujah Chorus. Is this where George Frederick Handel found the inspiration to compose the Hallelujah Chorus? But then I think he also drew from Revelations. So I don't know for sure, but I really love this this David's praise to God. At the end of his reign or career, he does not build or demand a monument to himself. Rather, this is David's Hallelujah Chorus. And I would say, oh, that at the end of each of our lives, we would be able to echo David's praise and glory to the one who truly blesses. "And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. After all our endeavors, we acknowledge the one who has given us strength and power. It is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all." This is David's way of singing 606. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Well, perhaps we can learn from this ancient king how to embrace the transitions in our own individual lives, as well as the transitions and changes in our shared life together as a faith community. Perhaps it's in transitions that we can see the mindfulness and the hand of God more clearly. Let it be so.